This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. It's hour two, GBAG Nation 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's Grand Central Station here in the world of sports every afternoon with you. We're going to 6:30 this afternoon pregame for your Rangers as they take on the Blue Jays. And looking to get a series Vic here. That's nice. They pitched so well yesterday that they were able to get a win despite only scoring two runs. I want to appropriately do some journalism on that. That wasn't a great win last night. It's a relief they didn't lose. But damn it, I want to see some 6-1. I want to see some 8-2. I thought we were seeing signs in spring training, weren't we? But here's the good news on that. Corey Seager is back, baby.
He's back.
About time, baby. Let's go.
Talk about a catalyst. Okay, so a couple of topics here. And we are keeping our eye out for Evaldi news, by the way. We wouldn't bury the lead. If there's anything there, we'll update it. But it looks like it's just a little tricep pull, and he'll be all right. Do you play Smith at second base as soon as Seager's ready to do shortstop? He's going to be DHing tonight. I think it's time. I would move Marcus Semien to a bench role and give him 1 to 2 starts a week, depending on how the starting pitching sets up. Obviously, you're going to be looking for signs that he's back, right? But I want to wait till he gets hot. Could you do that, Wolchuk? What do you think? Will they consider playing Smith at second base like they should?
I think everything's up for consideration.
This is kind of like Zeke Rico Dowdle, isn't it?
At this point, yeah, Josh Smith, I would say, would be a better player than Marcus Semien. He's certainly a better offensive player. There's no debating that. But Marcus is still playing well defensively. You know, he has been making some good plays with the glove still. So I think just having him out there, if you had a better option to DH consistently than maybe Josh, I think definitely that would be the play. Because Marcus is giving you nothing offensively. So if you had somebody else like Jock Peterson, unfortunately, is now hurt. Not that he was doing anything special. But if you had a legitimate DH option to where, now I don't have Josh Smith DHing in this situation. I need to get him in the lineup. I need to play him at second. I absolutely would do that.
Yeah, you start to wonder, when do guys like Adolis Garcia, when do guys like Marcus Semien need to get the burger round rock treatment? You know, go get your mind right.
Yeah,
go build up a little confidence.
Send him
here.
Down, right? Because of years of service.
Yeah, you can't.
But you can't. But you find a way though.
Yeah,
by any means necessary.
You sit him.
You fake an injury.
Go get some reps.
Send you to Arizona.
Go to Arizona where you can play those little games on the backfields where nobody's watching. If you don't want the embarrassment of it, we'll just say you're hurt. We can say you're hurt. There's ways to do this with injured players. To your point, Chief.
Yeah. I think that's something that's necessary. I also think at some point. If not today, does Broaddus and Wolchuk need to go to Globe Life Field and walk out the door right before Corey Seager's next at bat?
Could we guarantee
a dong?
It is superstition time.
I'll do whatever it takes to make the Rangers.
This is violence now.
This is desperation.
Coming at you all the show now.
This is desperation.
Now
you
can stuff.
You can take your curse and use it for a benefit.
I thought we got closure on that, Wolchuk. Nope. Man bought you a ticket last week.
No, he did. He did.
Closure.
I was trying to buy you another one.
I know you are. Look, Game 7, we'll circle back, we'll discuss, but tomorrow's a no-go.
This is like a guilty divorced dad situation you've lucked into, Wolchuk, somehow,
Mm-hmm.
This might be the gift that keeps on giving.
No,
you know how the guilty divorced dad is? He takes the kids to, Disneyland and
just
Toys R Us when it was still around.
Just likes to take care of his friends.
He felt guilty for taking something away
from
you.
I'm sorry that they lost
him. And no amount of money he ever spends can fill that hole. Mm. Got to exploit this, Wolchuk.
Yeah, don't deny that blessing.
Okay, Lauer.
I might go to Game 7.
Apparently,
damn right.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I like what you said, Dawson. Going back to that real quick.
Yeah.
About your tweet that they're gonna have to. You're gonna win tomorrow night.
Oh, the Stars.
Yeah, it's a matter of can you find enough to get Game 6.
The proper hockey man right here, Broaddus. He went all in on these Dallas Stars. He can't get it out of his head.
No, I had him losing in the first round.
You did.
I did.
But you're a huge fan.
Here they are.
Yeah. You're not a homer.
I want to. that they the fact that Corey Perry played as well as he did last night at 40 years old and you allowed it, it made me sick.
Sick.
Let me get in a couple of more Seager questions here. Okay, we're going to double down on hockey. No, yeah, I appreciate
we'll,
you.
I just circle back because my mind's on this Stars team too.
I'm upset.
I'll do whatever it takes for the Rangers to hit.
I heard Monday he might be back Friday, and now he's back Wednesday. I know he's just DHing. What if he's got a leg out of double? Okay. Did they give it enough time? Do you trust these guys with these muscle pulls?
Oof. Well, Corey's
just holding to a single.
It just kind of keeps flaring up on him, yeah. You know. So I don't know. I think you're just you're crossing your fingers, you're holding your breath, and just hoping that this thing is healed.
If this offense was even average right now, I think they would probably be trying to give him more time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but he had the luxury of slow playing it. I'm sure they would.
Well, it's a long season. We're 2 months in. We're looking for a turnaround. I do feel bad for Semien, but I'm willing to give him a season long award right now, best pro. This guy never takes the offensive production into the field with him. He's always defending incredibly well, and he'll be a solid 0-for-4. And you never get 0-for-5 on this team because you couldn't get through five times, but. He'll 0-for-3 or 0-for-4, big old smile on his face, shaking everybody's hand, high five in the starting pitcher. You got a game winning hit. You're my guy. Fist bump for you. I mean, he's the pro of the year. To go through this kind of a slump and have that smile.
Do you want to see him snap though at some point? Could that be therapeutic for him? Like snap, break the bat over the leg or whatever. He's strong enough to do that.
He's so stoic. You're right. You might want to have. One blow up to just
kind of get it out.
I mean, you have to imagine it's storing up incredibly. Maybe he has those moments in private.
These guys are built different though, because Josh Peterson was a similar way.
Oh, yeah. Crazy!
You know where like he was able to. You would know that he was in one of the most disgusting slumps of all time.
I mean, probably mid 9 figures in your banking account would give you that kind of.
Yeah, everything's good.
I'm a World Series champ, multi-time All-Star.
World Series champ, All-Star. It's like, dude, Hayes in the barn. I've done so much good. I think of the competitor in you every day. You want to be good, you know the baseball lover. You know, having to basically acknowledge the end of your career could be coming at any time. Like they're not going to Hunter Renfro you because you make so much money that they're going to hang on for longer. But Hunter Renfro was actually hitting better than Marcus Semien, and the Royals let him go last week. They're like, get out of here. Okay, Stars, how can they get back in the series? Zach Hyman possibly out.
He's out.
He's out for sure.
Yeah, he's going to get shoulder surgery.
He just went off the ice.
Yeah, he's done. Shoulder problem.
And Brown probably still concussed. I can't imagine he's out of protocol.
Yeah.
Coming back home, lack of defensemen exploited. I think the Oilers' overall defensive position and quality moving through the zones, The turnovers will likely be higher. This is going to be your opportunity. And you get under Skinner's skin, and then you go to game 6, and now you have momentum suddenly. The Oilers have been playing unbelievable. They're not this good. Who the hell is this team? Going into the playoffs, they were only supposed to have 3 good forwards. Now they have 11. Yeah. How did this happen? I don't know. Maybe they're just
postseason
team.
Playing the Stars. I think Zach had a tweet about that. Sometimes... you have teams'
numbers.
They
just have your number. And it does feel like that. I mean, even going back to Game 6 last year in Edmonton, felt like the Stars outplayed them, yet they lose the game. And it's felt like at times in this series, there's been moments where the Stars are throwing everything they've got. That first period, they're throwing everything they've got at Edmonton. And you look up and it's 1-0. You know, it honestly, they got to score on the power play. Their penalty kill has to be better. And they got to find a way to get Mikko Rantanen back going. He's got to figure this out, man. 7 goals Schneid. This isn't good. You look at the playoff scoring leaders, though, the top 5. Connor McDavid, 24 points. Leon Draisaitl, 23. Then you got Mikko Rantanen at 21. 2 more Oilers. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Evan Bouchard. 4 out of the 5 top 5 playoff scoring leaders are Edmonton Oilers.
It's stupid how that Nugent-Hopkins guy is
Nugent
just
Hopkins
sniping corners.
Has been, he might be their best player in the series. Seems like every night he's getting a point.
He has. That's what
he probably has.
And your young guns are basically invisible. You can talk about Rantanen, but he allowed them to get here.
Where is Wyatt Johnston? I mean, this is Robo's finally starting to figure it out. You know, he played well last night. He got the goal. He started to really look much improved in game 3. But I don't know what's going on with Wyatt Johnston.
Okay, so one of the topics out there, and you'll see it on Twitter or our text right now, is, you know, people fed up with DeBoer. I can't imagine moving on from a guy that might be one of the best coaches. Like, would you move on from Jim Knill right now? No, you wouldn't. What specifically is DeBoer not doing? You win this many series in this sport, you're really good. And I hope they're not considering it. I guess I would ultimately trust Jim Knill's judgment on this. You know, maybe it is time for a new voice. And, you know, since the bubble can't get through this round, how many different teams have eliminated you here? Three different teams now? I mean, you're a conference final team, and the conference is, you know, playing, rotating who's going to go beat the Stars in the conference finals. So I think it's frustrating, but, you know, I would just let Jim continue to tinker with this thing and think, hey, it's a young roster. At some point in the next 5 years, it's going to be our turn to have the great puck luck and the goalie who's on fire at the right times.
Well, the big story tomorrow night is also it could be Jamie Benn's final game.
Yeah.
With the Dallas Stars.
Yeah. Could be.
He is a free agent. I mean, you're going to have a lot of turnover on this roster. Matt Duchesne's a free agent. Mikhail Granlund is a free agent. Evgeny Dodonov is a free agent who is a scratch for the first time in the postseason. Last night, they decided to go with Steele and Blackwell. And honestly, your fourth line's been your best line.
It has been.
Jamie Benn, free agent. So they got a lot of work to do in terms of, all right, who do you want to keep out of those guys or who do you replace them with?
Sagan's still good if you can get a team-friendly deal. Is he a free agent, though?
No, Sagan, he's got another, Sagan's okay. Still under contract.
Sounds like tomorrow's not only a winner-go-home game, but it's also how do you want to be remembered game.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's, you know, one thing to consider here is you're getting called out for being soft. And maybe if you're Jim, you're like, do I replace these guys with bruisers? Do we want to become a more physical team? Do I want to go get a, you know, they had Corey Perry, I think in 2019, he had 1 year with the Dallas Stars.
It was the year they made the cup final in the bubble.
Yeah. So there's something to it. But it was Perry, the 40-year-old now with the game winning goal, also had an assist.
Missed another one.
Perry's sixth goal of the postseason, now tied with Timu Solani, Mark Recchi, Ron Francis for the most goals in a single postseason by a player who started the run at 39 or older.
It's amazing.
You know, so there's that. And Stars fans, it's a horrible place to be, man. I hope you guys are doing all right. I mean, to be thinking, here we go, we've won game one, we're going to be the better team than the Oilers, shook off that first 40 minutes and have that third period, and then 3 games later to be down 3-1. I'm very surprised. You know, I thought in the Colorado series this team was headed for the cup, Brian.
I think that even the most homer Stars fan knows that we might very well be seeing the end. These fans understand. You know, you get up 3-1, it's going to take, honestly, it's going to take, I don't see them beating Edmonton 3 straight times. I just don't, you know? And that's why, I thought last night's game was so huge.
And they played like it. They came out and they knew it.
I thought you guys would ride it harder, like they've outplayed them, you know?
Edmonton outplayed Dallas?
I mean, outshots, the quality chances, the offensive zone.
No, there's been periods where they have. Unfortunately, it's just the pinpoint accuracy, the skill of Edmonton has shined. The quality over quantity has been the story here.
It's 1-10, by the way. 90% is all it is. Yeah. 300 teams have faced a 3-1 deficit. 30 teams have come back.
It happens in hockey a lot.
It does. Stars are due. It's never happened in their franchise. I think 2007, against Vancouver, they forced a game 7 down 3-1.
Last year, Edmonton playing against Florida.
Yeah, they were down 3-0.
They were down, forced a game 7. Forced a game 7, a 3-1, I think. They forced a game 7.
Yeah, 3-0.
But it's hard for me to believe that Edmonton, the way that they're currently playing right now as a team, their margin of error is not as tiny as Dallas's is. You know, Dallas almost has to be just perfect right now against this team, and they can't be. Whereas Edmonton can play; they don't need a bunch of shots.
Heck, they're cleaner in possession.
In the third yesterday, there was a point like halfway finished through the third. Edmonton's nursing a lead; it's a white knuckle game. They're out shooting Dallas 8-1.
They're not playing dump.
They were out of gas, dude.
Yeah, they're not playing dump and chase. They were going after Dallas even halfway through. They didn't want to make it. They're thinking, we can't let them tie this thing and send this thing to overtime. They stayed super aggressive. And I just think the margin of error for the Stars is way bigger than Edmonton's.
Well, we have a new record for most Mount Everest climbs.
By a person?
A Nepali Sherpa. Kami Rita broke his own record, as a matter of fact. He did it for a 31st time.
Kami Rita.
Yeah, I think I'm pronouncing that right. His first one was 94, so he averages about one a year. Mm. But sometimes he scaled it twice a year. His closest competitor for the Everest record is another Sherpa named Pa Sang, who scaled the peak 29 times.
Okay.
But he tried last week, couldn't get there. So you get a lot of attempts, but then the weather quickly changes or the ice not
crowd.
Solid.
It's crowded. Yeah, there's a crowd trying to go up that
There's
thing.
Poop and litter everywhere. There's dead people everywhere. Yeah. It's wild up there. It's not pretty.
Yeah. Some of the dead folks up there are markers for where to go.
Wow.
Like if you go by a yellow boots guy,
yeah,
that's a marker to where you need to go and make a turn and stuff like that.
What's this guy's name again? This is the Geli Sherpa guy?
This is Kami Rita.
Oh, okay.
K-A-M-I Rita.
There's a Geli Sherpa guy who apparently like found a dude that was like dying.
And carried him down?
He carried him down like 6 hours down the mountain.
Just see, these are the dudes. These are the dudes you want.
Incredible.
Like if I'm going up, I'm thinking, who's the best guy to give me the chance to make it?
Yeah, you got to be with a bunch of foxhole guys. Who can carry me?
Oh, this is only my first time to ever met. No. Give me the guy that's gone about 16, 17, 18 times and made it back. That's the guy I want to hire.
Could you imagine the legs on that dude?
Oh, my gosh.
To be able to carry another man down.
Yeah, I was going
to
say the VO2 max on that guy.
This is very like Kenyan distance runner guy.
Yeah.
You know, that trains and like he doesn't need to breathe.
Yeah.
He just kind of just.
Bring these dudes down and have them run to the Boston Marathon. Amazing. Wouldn't be surprised at their top five finish. Mm. But those people that are drawn to climb that, I could not imagine. You know, some of the pathways they got to go on, it's a narrow path on a ridge, and if you fall off one side, you're done. How do you even, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
people go
that.
Crazy going up there, too.
Yeah, there's the elevation sickness.
All of a sudden, the oxygen in your head and all that lack of it, man, it's tough.
I was listening to a Jocko podcast, you know, Jocko Willink, the Navy SEAL guy that does the podcast and writes the books and stuff. And he was interviewing a guy who had experience fighting in the mountains, like these Sherpas, these, you know, these remote destinations you can go. He said, if you're fighting people that climb mountains all day and you go hand to hand with them, you were in a major problem. Because their cardio is insane. You cannot out-tire them, but their legs are so strong, they get their legs around you and just squeeze. So you're having to basically avoid that position. If you get into that vice grip against a hand-to-hand combat dude that grew up in the mountains, it's going to be really difficult to survive.
Wow. Yeah. It's like a snake just going to suffocate you.
Choke you out.
Boa constrictor.
Yeah. But apparently this Sherpa is using his strength to save people. And set records. Okay, we got the C-Note here coming up, the Cowboys news of the evening, all the headlines on America's team that you could want in 10, 15 minutes, and we'll deliver that next here in the...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
G-Bag Nation. Yeah, buddy, let's do it. It's time for the C-Note. Cowboys news of the evening every afternoon at this time. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win the Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay. I want to get to this deal real quick as we can laugh at the misfortune of our rivals, which is about all we can do right now with the Eagles. But apparently they're obsessed with the Cowboys. You guys see this story?
I don't know.
Reddit did a study of which fan bases mention the Cowboys the most. And it was actually 105 million posts studied. The Eagles mentioned the Cowboys by far the most, followed by the 49ers, then the Commanders, and the Saints, and the Packers. And it's just a further reminder, your rival, they're not in a good headspace. You know, their identity is defined by your existence. So is that a consolation at any point at this time, Wolchuk?
I mean, I've always kind of believed live rent-free in their heads. But, yeah, no, I mean, for what?
They're probably dunking on us because they're actually on top. They're mentioning us.
I just pretend that that's not even real, you know, that they didn't actually win a Super Bowl. This is an alternate reality. This is the same fake universe in which Luka got traded. You know, we're going to pivot somewhere else, and the Cowboys are actually champions. That's what we can dream.
Man, that was a bad week, wasn't it?
It was a rough time. Yeah, it was a rough time in DFW sports. It's really a rough time right now a little bit.
Yeah.
A little down in the dumpy, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. We're going to pick our boots up. We're going to get a win tomorrow night, and the Rangers are going to get a victory over the Blue Jays, and the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl.
It can't get any worse. You went too far there, buddy.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that.
We have a position group Broadus feels great about. I want to put it under the microscope. We go to Blogging the Boys. David Howman, headline, says, you know, the linebacker room has a lot of questions. Okay, Brian, so I'm going to give you each of these questions about these guys, and then I'd love to know, you know, what gives you confidence.
This is David Hellman?
Howman.
Okay.
Howman.
Okay.
You got a Hellman Fox. Howman, Blogging the Boys.
The Howman.
Gotcha.
Leofau Young, and we don't know if it's a scheme fit. He had a success under Zimmer. How much of a concern is that going into year two for Leofau?
I think that Leofau plays with tremendous awareness. I think of his ability. He's one of these, we always talk about these sideline to sideline guys. I think he's got that kind of understanding. I think he knows how to get around blocks or play off blocks. He gets in a little bit of trouble. He's a little bit opposite of Sanborn, who they signed from the Bears, who kind of undercuts blocks and then gets in on plays. Maris can't do that. He's got to be able to play over the top of blocks and get to the outside. Hmm. But he is very, very capable. When he's involved with plays, he was playing some nickel stuff, and when he was involved with that, you could see that the guy's got some awareness that he plays with his eyes. Mm-hmm. So I'm positive about him. I think he's a nice scheme fit for what Matt wants to do with his linebackers and how he plays them. So I'm an arrow up, as they would say.
Where do you see his career going? Is he a starter or a depth guy?
Oh, I think he's going to be a starter one day for you. I do.
Now, Overshown's hurt, and it's almost like Sean Lee, where this guy's unbelievable. Yeah. But you can't count on him for this year. Can you count on him long term? I don't know. With back-to-back injuries like that, him and Diggs, I'm just like, maybe they'll have a good career, but it's not heading in.
I think at some point he is going to play, talking to people over in the organization about that. I think that the things that they can't put a timetable on, like, is that a week six? Is that a week eight? And people will say, well, damn, Broadus, he tore everything in his knee. He might not play at all. They believe that he will play. They just can't put a specific date on that. I think where he gets away with things is this is athletic ability. I think it's more athletic ability than I do think it's instinct as a player.
He's something else. He gets the job done. So does Sanborn, who's slow, but you mentioned his technique for getting underneath the blocks, and that sort of mitigates his 4.76 speed.
Yeah, he plays much quicker, and when you could get away with being maybe a 4.7 linebacker when you understand, like, you're able to read and react really quickly. I mean, he sees, when you watched him with the Bears. I do not advise linebackers to undercut blocks, because usually that gets you out of position and now you've created a huge running lane or where the ball's going to be, and then you're out of position. But he has this ability to kind of dip underneath and then get back and make the play, which I'm like, oh, he's like, he's about to get, oh, wait, he just made the tackle. And there's people I was talking to in Chicago that cover the team, and they're like, they are super, super surprised that the Bears let him walk. And they think it's because of the new staff.
He was a fan favorite in there.
They spent some money at linebacker too, didn't they? Like, they wanted to.
I'm saying, yeah, but I know that the people in Chicago were really surprised for the amount of plays that he made for them for 3 years that they just let him walk. But they're blaming the new regime with the coaching staff for the reason they're letting him walk.
Okay, we're going over questions about Cowboys linebackers. I'd love to have you weigh in. Like, do you see it more as questions or confidence at 877-881-1053? I don't know if Damone Clark makes the team. Murray, you know, coverage and then point of attack as the primary defender in the run game, he struggled. And then there's Shamar James, the rookie captain from Florida that kind of flashed last week, looking forward to getting out there and maybe getting a chance to see him.
His one opportunity in front of the media, he had an interception. What he does when you watch him, and Zach, did you get a chance to watch him play?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead if you want to talk about what you saw him at Florida. I'll give you an opportunity to do that.
Shamar James was just a guy that I saw downhill player. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a guy that I didn't really see a ton of natural instincts from him.
That's him.
And he's a little bit stiff at times in coverage, but I did follow up with some people at Florida after the Cowboys drafted him. He was playing banged up and hurt. Mm-hmm. That might have hurt him a little bit, but he was a guy that was really good downhill. Had good blitzer, I thought, when it came to that ability. Yeah. It was just one of those things where he would at times kind of be, hey, I'm running in late, jumping on the pile. Mm-hmm. That annoyed me. Like, that's something that ticks me off when we're watching and studying these guys. But hey, I mean, certainly he was a big time 5-star recruit, chose Florida over Alabama, grew up in Alabama. But that was exciting to hear. I mean, I thought he would contribute as a special teams guy year one. I wasn't sure how much he'd get into the mix at linebacker. But Eberflus is a dude who's hit on some of these middle round gems. When you go back to Anthony Hitchens, his first go round here, maybe he can develop into a guy like that.
Yeah, this is a guy that didn't show a lot of instinct at Florida, and you were really worried about him playing in coverage. And then here he has an interception, you know, on Joe Milton in the practice that we got to watch the other day, which is a good sign right there. But where I thought you needed to play him as a will linebacker, free him up, and don't let him have to think about how he's going to need to play. Just let him go run. This guy is more than capable of running down plays. You mentioned, Zach mentioned the downhill stuff. He's a really good blitzer too.
He is.
So you might find something with this guy. We might be getting in these preseason games and all of a sudden, yeah, you see this guy having to make some pressure. Maybe this is the guy. But I thought as a will linebacker, that was going to be his best avenue to potentially making this team.
I mean, looking at the potential for star players, it's overshown getting healthy. And then you have, like, sufficient starters, young guys. You know, I think maybe it's not the weakness that it was last year, but we're a far cry from being really good, aren't we?
I think the thing that with Murray that I've always liked about Murray is how physical he can play. You know, like taking on, we've seen him blitz before. We've seen him, like, he gets one-on-one with running backs. He kind of throws them aside.
He's good in space.
There's some power to his game. And I'm hopeful that if things in the run game, that you got a guy that can flow, can play behind the line of scrimmage, he get to the ball, doesn't get fooled. That's kind of what I'm hoping with him, Sanborn, and Leofau, that those guys all play with some good instinct and are able to fill when they need to fill and not let, let what should be 3-4 yard runs turn into 6-7-8 yard runs like we saw last year.
All right. Next headline here. Jalen Tolbert on the George Pickens trade. He said he loved it. He was at the facility. He's known GP for a while. And that's cool. But I wanted to ask you guys about Tolbert. Quietly kind of became a decent receiver last year. 49 catches, 610 yards, 7 touchdowns. Can he do that as wide receiver 3? Still, if he could, that would be something. What do you expect from Tolbert here?
I mean, I think that he is a wide receiver 3 at best.
But that's his right role now.
Absolutely. Exactly. So, I mean, he did have a streak of touchdowns to end the year. And that, I think, is what kind of, maybe if you have a positive feeling, I was super disappointed after the Pittsburgh game. It was like, now's your time. You arrived. You finally had your big moment. Can you go ahead now and have your breakout type of year? And he kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many times for me. Tolbert just disappears. He did get a knack for, I think it was the last 4 games, he caught a touchdown. But I'm not, Jalen Tolbert just has never developed into the receiver that I thought he could be.
Yeah, but a sufficient wide receiver 3, Brian?
Oh, I tell you what, though, I've gone from the point of, like, I think this guy could have been a 2 to, like, I feel like there's players that are probably more consistent than him. So, no, I'm not going to sit there and hitch my wagon to him.
I think Mingo is who they'd probably like to surpass him on the depth chart.
I think so, too. I think that they gave Tolbert every chance to be this guy.
He had 50 catches and 7 touchdowns. What did Mingo do? He catches one out of every 3 balls that's passed to him.
The thing about it is, it's like there's 2 games where he's really, really, really good, and then there's 4 games where he doesn't. If he was, you know, the 50 catches, like I say, where he, you know, could put himself in position for some other ones. that he didn't make. I just, like I say, I've given up trying to make him something he's probably not.
All righty. Good stuff here. It is the G-Bag Nation. I mean, you're basically getting wide receiver two opportunities, and you produce like a wide receiver three. So maybe I shouldn't look so positively at his 49 catches. And I trust Brian's scouting.
No, I've wanted to this guy to be a 60, 70 catch guy. And there's times where he is very capable of that. I just don't think there's any consistency to his game where it's, every week you can rely on him to make plays for you. He'll make plays, but it's week one, it's week four, it's week seven, it's week 12. There's nothing to his game where all of a sudden you're just like, wow, okay, well, he's going to make four or five catches every game, and he just can't do that. I've been waiting for a long time on that. It just hadn't happened.
The C-Note every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation at 3:20. It'll be a valuable resource to get you caught up on the Cowboys news of the day every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation as we make our way towards training camp. What are we, just a couple of months away now? We'll be there.
July 21st.
Look at that. Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, Eric, I want to talk about quarterbacks and where they're ranked. No, I really don't.
please,
Dak?
No, but it's funny. I've got a game for you. It is involved with some quarterbacks, though.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's your king, Broadus.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Here.
Thank you very much to Reliant. Saw a couple of Reliant vans out working in my neighborhood. Some folks getting some quality service there.
Hopefully they're always hustling, man.
They are a lot of hustling going on. They got really pretty vans too. If it was like their vans were like a race car, they would be wrapped well. You know, when they wrap these cars and stuff,
it's yeah,
pretty wrap on their vans. So
I don't doubt it.
I like that a lot. Always look at that, you know, cars, how they look.
It's a great way to do it for cheap. You know, you want to make your car look better or advertise with it. Those wraps are a good deal.
Those wraps are amazing. It's amazing. I've been in plenty of NASCAR, like, places like their home bases and stuff, and I watched them work and build cars and then wrap the car. It's fascinating how those guys do that, the guys and gals that put those on. It's just like this big sheet over the car, and then they just fit it
cut
down.
It out.
It's really, really an interesting process to do. All right. It's kind of the running joke is here with me and the quarterbacks and stuff like that. So I figured I'd do a quarterback game.
All right, here we go.
Tomorrow we've got some practices. So we'll get some Cowboys practices. We'll talk some football tomorrow about what we saw out there and stuff like that. But I get this newsletter that has all the different professional football leagues on it, whether it's the NFL, our UFL, CFL, European Football League.
Oh my gosh.
Arena Football League. Get them all. I get them all. And they have a power ranking each week for these different football leagues for their quarterbacks.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we have some familiar names in here?
So they have a top 10. Well,
Jeremiah Masoli still getting it done somewhere?
They might not be totally familiar. So here's the game.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a quarterback, and you tell me if this name is playing in one of these leagues I'm talking about.
I like it.
Whether it's the UFL, the CFL, the European Football League.
EFL?
Yes. EFL. Or the Arena Football League.
That's the AFL.
So I'm going to give you a name. You tell me if this guy is playing or is not playing. Okay?
Okay.
Dawson, I'll start with you.
Dawson?
Blame Canada.
Is there a Riley Jordan playing quarterback? And is a now these are top 10 quarterbacks in these leagues.
Riley.
So these are like legitimate players for their leagues. Riley. These are like the
Riley sounds like an AFL guy to me.
Riley Jordan.
Yeah.
Is that a player in one of these leagues? You're saying
one of these Silver Spoon quarterbacks, you know, camp kid. Parents were constantly sending him. Probably he was over there with Bennett at the Manning camp.
At the Manning camp?
Yeah.
Bennett became, yeah, he's texting with, it's funny, Bennett does say that, like, there's a lot of those guys that went on, and Bennett's like, yeah, I text these guys, and, like, they're prominent quarterbacks.
So is that where he met Arch back in the day? Was it the Manning
the
camp?
The first time he ever met Arch was at when he was in Austin.
Oh.
He didn't meet him at the
Wouldn't
camp.
Wouldn't they be, like, in the same class, basically, they were, yeah, or a year off?
Arch is a year behind him.
Okay.
But they're Cowboys together. They're in that organization together. Yeah. And so that's where he knows him from. I don't believe he met him at the Manning camp. Because the first time I met Arch myself, guy was looking down on me like, that's a tall guy. Mm. I mean,
big kid.
I met him at the Cowboys deal. But anyway, Riley Jordan, you say that he is a...
He's a quarterback. He's in the AFL.
He's a quarterback in the AFL.
Yeah.
How about you there, Chieftain?
Feel like Riley's more of a lacrosse player.
That's a good point.
I think he's playing somewhere in the ACC right now. That's my guess.
You're saying that's like it. An ACC
I think
lacrosse
he's in,
player?
I think he's in
John
ACC
Hopkins
Lacks
University.
Yeah,
yeah. I think he's
Syracuse
Cornell.
Syracuse Cornell. I think Cornell won.
Yeah,
I think
Cornell's good.
Riley was a big reason why.
Virginia is really good at that lacrosse too. If you want to stay ACC,
John Hopkins. You're right about that one. Okay, so you're saying that's a no. Riley Jordan is not a quarterback.
Riley Jordan.
That's right.
All right. How about you there, Wooly?
I think that it's Jordan Riley. That's in the leagues, not Riley Jordan.
Oh, it's a double first name?
I'm going to go no.
That's what threw me off.
Lucius Riley Jordan, yes or no, one of these quarterback, top 10 quarterbacks in the obscure
Riley
leagues.
Riley Jordan in the obscure leagues.
Riley
AFL.
Jordan.
Okay, Lucius is saying he is an actual quarterback. Riley Jordan is not a quarterback.
There we go.
You got Lacrosse? Us again, Brian.
No, just a name.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, you're just
making
one.
Stuff up over there?
Yeah.
Is that what you accuse Chief of doing?
The fountain of misinformation.
I'm just making up stuff. I'm trying to throw you guys off.
No, created a player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Wooly, on this one?
All right.
Fred Payton. Is Fred Payton.
Is that Payton with an E or an A?
That would be Payton, like Payton is how I spelled it.
My Payton quarterbacks have an E, don't they? They don't have
Fred Payton doesn't sound like that's an actual. I mean, I don't know. Some of these leagues have. I don't know what's going on in the European League, but I'm going to say no go on Fred Payton.
How about you there? How about you there, Lucius?
How many leagues are we talking here?
Well, right
like
now,
five?
I'm trying to make you five
Shoot,
leagues.
Man.
Five leagues. Fred Payton. Is Fred Payton a quarterback in the obscure league?
No, I don't like that name, Fred Payton.
I've never heard of him. It's a double first name back to back.
Right. I was thinking the same thing.
Pretty big tell.
It's another made up situation.
Yeah, he owns like a State Farm agency.
Like a good neighbor. Come see State Fred Payton. You say everybody saying no?
Yeah, Fred's working a 9-to-5.
Fred Payton is a quarterback.
Oh, what?
God.
He's with the quarterback with the Corpus Christi AFL team.
Oh,
the Tritons?
They have one?
He's still working a 9-to-5. No disrespect, Fred.
Top 10 quarterback for the Corpus Christi team.
Is he a legitimate son or something here? Is it a family relative?
He is a junior.
He's a junior.
Wow, bro. He's a featured player. He's actually got a nice aesthetic, dude. He wears a visor. Number 9, he's got the sleeves taping up the ankles. Looks like he's a mobile dual threat kind of guy.
Lucius, going to start with you on this one.
Let's go.
Riley Hennessy.
Another Riley, bro?
Riley Hennessy.
What are you doing, Brian?
That sounds like a wide receiver.
It does. Sounds fat.
Sounds like a cornerback.
He's played at Miami.
He takes his shoes off when he runs.
So you're saying is this true?
Fred Payton looks good.
Hennessy, last
Riley
name
Hennessy
as a quarterback.
That's
crazy.
My last name.
Yes,
Lucy's saying yes.
Euro,
Wooly.
He's a Euro.
Riley Hennessy. I'm gonna go. I don't think that's one that you've made up.
Ooh, not give me any credit on this one.
I feel like we would have heard of Ryan Hennessy by
Riley.
He would be a he would be a TikTok sensation.
Yeah.
This Mr. Hennessy, as you say.
It's made up. NIL deal.
Made up?
Yeah.
Chieftain?
Yeah, I just don't believe in Riley's being
quarterback
face of the franchise type guys. I'm going to say it's a ball sack.
I got to give Lucius a lot of credit on this one. He called him a Euro, and he's right.
Yeah.
He's in the European League.
That's a European
Riley,
name,
Riley
Hennessy.
Riley Hennessy plays for Stuttgart in the EFL.
Riley Hennessy.
Wow.
Yeah, Riley Hennessy is a real player for the Stuttgart team.
Good. I was hoping so. Lucius, if you made that up and handed it to me, all right, brother. Lucius, we got Newport Hennessy quarterback. What do you think?
Newport quarterback. All right, back to you, Dawson.
Okay.
Dresser win.
Oh.
Dresser win. What the hell? Is that a quarterback in one of the obscure?
Is this like, is that win?
Yeah. Is it W-I-N-N or N-G-U-Y-E-N?
W, it would be the way I look at it, it's a W-I-N-N. Dresser what? Win.
It's a made up name, Brian. You got to try better than that.
Dresser win.
Fool me once.
Booming months.
Shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me twice.
Shame on
you. Can't get fooled again.
Can't get fooled again.
Dresser win. Yeah, I feel like this is too wild of a name for you to actually make up. I'm just not buying the fact that Dresser's a quarterback.
So we got a no and a no?
I'm going no.
How about you there, Wooly?
None of these have sounded like quarterbacks.
A yes into Dresser win, and I'll guess Canadian Football League.
Lucius?
Yeah, that's a real person. Dresser?
Dresser win.
Oh, sounds I don't know. I don't know, Broadus. Oh! And kind of Dresser, kind of sneaky right there with you. I'll just make up a name called Dresser.
Don't ever think this is
real.
Did
I get him?
His name's Dresser.
I'm sitting around talking to myself.
Yeah. We throw the Dresser
this
out there.
This is a good one.
You saying yes?
Yeah.
Do we have a nightstand on the roster as well?
Nightlight.
Cherwin. It's the brother.
Jack Broom.
Fidenza.
Dresser win?
Credenza.
He's a quarterback for the Memphis Showboats.
Oh. Showboats. Oh, UFL. All right.
Speaking of Showboats, you're looking mighty proud of yourself.
He's showboating over there.
Brian Trebek.
The old showboater you.
Trebek.
Where is he?
Your mother.
Your mother. God, that was so funny.
It's just his ass.
It's just his ass.
All right. Wooly.
Yeah. Oh, this team's owned by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, that's he owns the whole league.
He owns the Memphis Showboats.
All right, Wooly.
Yep.
Bo Levi Mitchell.
Ooh, that's an SEC quarterback.
For Bo sure. Levi Mitchell.
Bo Levi Mitchell.
Bo Levi Mitchell.
Built like a fullback.
Yeah, that's, I'm going to say yes. That's a quarterback.
Dawson.
Bo Levi Mitchell. Or you're going back to a high school friend.
I'm going to say you made it up, Brian. I think he went with obscure names that are real and real sounding good old boys that are fake.
Figured you out.
Chieftain?
I mean, I would never in a million years guess that this is actually a quarterback, but I have not offered up any idea that I think any of these guys are quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying he is also not a quarterback.
It sounds like a country bumpkin that this guy slings the pill.
What do you say, Lucius? Bo Levi Mitchell.
When it first came out, it rang a bell.
Mm-hmm.
But now that these guys have talked about it,
mm-hmm.
yeah. He's got serial killer vibes, three names. Yeah, assassinator. Man. No, it's not a person.
Maybe the last guy that was killed by firing squad.
Yeah.
Bo Levi Mitchell, quarterback for the Hamilton Tiger Cats in the CFL.
Goodness gracious.
Wow. I think I was 0 for 6 on that, bro.
Nice job. I think I might have been 1 for 6.
I was really hoping you'd ask about Mason Fine.
Now, yeah. Fake names also had in the list Avery Quinn.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Noah Olivia.
Noah Olivia.
I would have thought Avery Quinn might be a baller.
Avery Quinn.
Yeah, but you made that up.
Brady Quinn's kid.
I made those Quinn's three kid? Up.
Bo Levi Mitchell went to Katy, SMU, and Eastern Washington.
How about that?
How old is this guy?
35.
He's 35.
He's hanging around, baby.
Still playing.
Still playing the Super Bowl. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
it. Never give up on your dreams.
Tomorrow we'll do real football.
Thank you, Brian.
We'll have real football talk.
Krusty's Corner every day at 3:40 here, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. What's next, Wolchuk?
Let's do some NFL sounds of the day. Who makes the bigger impact, Debo or Pickens? Bradshaw's going off in a battle of Christmas Day. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.